This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasodhi. As we age, we worry about osteoporosis and breaking our bones that turn more brittle with time. Yet it turns out that osteoporosis has its roots in our childhood. Today we learn about the ways in which to grow and develop healthy bones and joints with Dr. Harjit Singh, our consultant orthopedic surgeon. Welcome, Dr. Harjit. How are you today?
I'm good. Let's start.
You know, how does bone density determine if our bones are healthy or not? And we see this word bone density all over the place when it comes to labs and, you know, doing tests and stuff like that. What is it?
No, I think as we become more aware of getting bones sorted out and having them healthy from the word go, getting them well from a younger age, a lot of these terminologies come into use, like the density of the bone. But the density of the bone determines the amount of calcium in the structure. But that is often not the only thing that's necessary. You have to have also a structure which conforms to the stresses that's going to be applied to the bone. So the strength of the bone is not only determined by its density. The strength is also determined by it having a proper structure. It's like a sponge. There is like a network of bone cells crisscrossing across, and that gives it its strength. So it's also structure and density.
So what is calcium actually doing to the bone?
So if we have about 1 kilo of calcium in our body, and 99% of it.
So I should actually dismiss 1 kilogram from my weight.
I think you go for the fat.
Not that's the calcium. 1 kilogram, that's a lot. Okay, that's a lot of weight.
There's a lot of other parts of the body that we can lose. Forget the calcium. No, the thing is, you've got 99% of your calcium in the bone. Now, the bone functions in many, many ways. Of course, the calcium acts to give it its strength. Okay, but additionally, it also acts like a reservoir for calcium. That means there is a lot of movement in and out of the bone of these calcium ions, because calcium helps a lot of functions in the sense that it helps in hemostasis, that means clotting of the blood when you bleed. One second, it also helps a lot of the enzyme functions of daily needs, energy production. So calcium itself has a lot of functions, and the bone acts as a reservoir.
Are you happy with the bone density of your patients?
Yes and no. The fact that we have to be thinner, and the fact that Asians tend to be of slighter build puts them at a disadvantage from the word go. Asian, particularly the Chinese, having a slender build, being a female, you tend to have a peak bone mass, which is always lower than comparing a Caucasian. So you're already at a disadvantage. So, of course, my patients tend to come with a lower peak. And the game is then that you teach them how to maintain it. Of course, I'm fortunate enough that at times I'm able to talk to the younger ones. So I do tell them, well, you know what, your bone, this is the period that you're going to build them. And then you have to keep them and do this and spread the word around.
What do you mean by peak bone mass?
Okay, you build bone approximately up to the age of 30. That means you start from the time that you're a kid, and the strength and density, calcium content goes up until the age of 30. Following that, there is a slow decline in women up to menopause, and then the decline is a bit more rapid because as the effect of estrogen wears off, you tend to lose bone a little bit faster. But the cutoff is 30 years old. So whatever you build up to the age of 30 is what you're going to get as your peak bone mass.
And the whole idea of osteoporosis is also defined as a pediatric disease with geriatric consequences. What does that mean?
Wow, that is so poetic.
Well, it sounds, poetic. So are you saying that bone health is determined while you're still in the womb, or what's going on?
No, I think we look at it. I think when they say that it's a pediatric problem, is that as our lifestyle changes as we become, we eat a lot of fast food, very refined food.
Processed.
Processed food. We don't keep up to a balanced diet. Lifestyle is very rushed, and that starts from the time that you're a child. The level of exercise and activity that you have is lower. We are now computer game, iPad-based people. This itself puts your body at a disadvantage, and you then are unable to hit a good density and quality of your bone when you reach your peak. And as that deteriorates, you see the effects as you're older. And I think that's what it means.
There was a recent report where it's been found that boys especially seem to face a loss of bone development, or rather bone development affected in younger boys, I think between the ages of 15 and 17, because of this lifestyle of sitting or, being glued to screens, whether they're watching movies or playing video games. Is that something to be concerned about? I couldn't see the relationship between, is it saying that because they're sedentary that bone development has been affected?
I think it's multifactorial. Okay, the first thing is when you are sedentary, you are indoors most of the time. The effect of sunlight in forming vitamin D for calcium absorption that you take in, that's cut off. Second thing is you tend to snack a lot, and that's not essentially the kind of food that you should have, and it's often not balanced. And third, to maintain and build good bone, you should exercise, and that should be weight-bearing exercises. That means a run, playing football, those kind of stuff. So if you take all three off, then you are already putting yourself in a disadvantage. So it's not the mere fact that you're using the iPad. It's the fact that you create three other situations which put you at a disadvantage.
So nothing to do with the screens.
Oh, you mean the brightness of the screen? Mm-hmm. No, I don't think it's that. It's just the mere fact that they are very sedentary. I had a patient who, I do sports work a lot, so I tend to like to ask them, hey, what's your favorite game? So one told me football. So I said, oh, which team do you
support?
And obviously it was Manchester United. Okay, that nearly ended the conversation. But then I went on and he told me his idea of playing football was FIFA, that video game. I nearly smacked him. So the idea is that the young ones tend to be more computer game based, and that's okay because you also you learn 3D coordination, dexterity in those games, but you have to balance it out. The conventional games are still very, very important.
But this is going to be the norm going forward. Are you concerned?
No, I am concerned, but I do see a change. You now have a lot of community groups which have, football clinics, a family day where the parents play football and the kids play at the side in another group. And that I've seen it happening in Subang, in Shah Alam. And I think that's a way to move forward.
Right. And that study happened to find that only boys were affected. Does gender play a role in bone development?
No, I don't think gender plays a role at that age.
Okay. You spoke about vitamin D. It's crucial for bone development. You said that to assist the absorption of calcium. Now, a University Malaya professor mentioned to me that we are a vitamin D deficient society. That is going to affect calcium absorption. So where do we go from here?
Okay, the thing is, we are actually at an advantage that we have abundant of sunlight.
We do, but we don't go out.
So, they always say morning sunlight. Or if we do go out, we tend to cover up quite a bit. But I think that we need to understand that that's our advantage. In the Western countries, they actually fortify their food with vitamin D because they don't get enough. But we don't need to do that. It's just that there has to be a conscious lifestyle change from being indoors to being outdoors. Then we will be sorted. A conventional Asian diet gives you about 400 milligrams of calcium.
And what is a conventional Asian diet?
Okay, I mean any balanced diet, regardless of race. Okay, that means your lunch, your dinner, and your breakfast. It'll give you about 400. The requirement now is about 1,000. So we are backward in that sense. So if we take, I mean, a bit more dairy products, which we don't, because a lot of us tend to be lactose intolerant, there are still other options like soy food, you know, shellfish. A lot of vegetables are also high in calcium. So all you need to do is, you need to Google it. You don't need to change your lifestyle dramatically. Like, oh, you start taking, you know, this European-based walnuts and all those kind of stuff,
which cost an arm and a leg as well.
Not only that. It's not something that we do. I mean, it's not our style. Mm-hmm. We've got our own food. So you need to just Google and you will be.
But why don't we just go out in the sun?
Huh. Okay. I go out in the sun. So I don't know. I mean, it's too warm maybe, but if they are educated to this, that you need to go because this is a good way and this is the way that you do it, then I think people will go.
And you have this concern about UVA, you know, and UVB and sunscreen and, you know, where do you draw the line?
I think we tend to be very doom and gloom in our outlook. And we tend to confuse. As adults, we get information which we digest and then we try to use it in our children and we keep them indoors trying to protect them, but then we don't realize that when they play games, when they are outdoors, they protect their bone, they get healthier. They also interact better with their peers instead of interacting over the net through a, you know, multiplayer game, and I think that's important.
How concerned or worried should we be of UVB rays?
I think,
and because if you slap on, you go out in the sun and you slap on sunscreen, that's going to affect the absorption of vitamin D.
I think it is the morning sun which is the useful one. So, you know, they always say that, okay, now they tend to be more scientific, but we always say that, you know, the sun right up to the about 10, 10:30, that's the one that's helpful. Otherwise, no.
And for how long?
I think it's about 20 minutes a day. So, you tend to, but that's not the only factor. You are making a lifestyle change. You also need to watch your diet. You need to be active because if there's no stimulus on the body parts, the bone and joints, they don't develop well. And if you don't exercise, you tend to be overweight. So no matter what density you have, you might just have other problems.
And when we come back, we'll find out more about whether or not bone development is determined while still in the womb. And as mummy or pregnant mum, can you do much to help that process? Coming up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. If you have just joined us, welcome. It is our Health and Living segment. Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon, with us discussing your bone health, how you can eat well, live well for the sake of your bones. As Dr. Harjit mentioned earlier, our bone mass peaks at the age of about 30 for 30, everyone, regardless of gender.
Regardless of gender.
So how much does bone development in the womb determine the health of our bones for the rest of our lives?
Okay, I think the developing baby is actually a sponge. It's going to take whatever it needs from the mother. So supplementing yourself during pregnancy is important, but it's not so much for the baby, it's probably for yourself. You know, you don't want to get drained out. So it's just like the obstetricians, they probably would advise you on that. Some say don't need to take supplements, you just need to watch your, you know, that you need to eat healthy and this is what you need to do. But I think the important thing is to realize that the developing baby will take it. So you protect yourself.
And you need to make sure you get the nutrition.
Yes, yes, you do.
Okay, how does poor nutritional status of the mother affect the baby's skeletal growth?
Okay, now, the bone is not only calcium. Yeah, there's a lot of proteins in it. And it's a 3D structure, which a lot of proteins, amino acids, trace materials like magnesium, and also they form the complex living tissue, which is the bone. It's not as if a piece of chalk contains calcium, but you know, it's not living. So If you have poor nutritional status, bone development is affected. You don't get that good 3D structure.
And if you are lacking in calcium, what are the consequences?
Okay, now, the thing about a lack in calcium, you may get a good amount from your diet. Okay, but if you don't have, the absorption is determined by other factors, like the amount of vitamin C, the acidity in your stomach tissue. So that helps absorption. Then you require the effect of vitamin D in its absorption, your iron status and all that. So you have to get enough. You have to have a system that is able to absorb it. And the body must function optimally for it to be pushed into the bone.
Under what circumstance wouldn't the body function according to what it should?
If you have conventionally just off the cuff, the one that I see a lot is the malabsorption syndromes. Okay, that means the body isn't able to absorb some stuff in a particular way. So you tend to give the calcium in a different form so the body can take it in. That's one. If you have vitamin D deficient states, then you get diseases like rickets if you're young, and you get these kind of changes also in adults.
Neurodegeneration.
If you have like kidney failure and all that, it also affects vitamin D metabolism and also calcium absorption. So they are multifactorial, but the one that I normally concern myself with this. I have a healthy patient, but this patient is not able to recognize the fact that he has to build his bone. And once he reaches his peak, you come in adulthood. My job is to teach you how to maintain it so that you don't get weak bones, osteoporosis, fractures as you grow older.
And what are the steps?
Okay, it's very simple. Okay, I say if I have a 40-year-old patient coming, normally we will encourage him to be active, and it has to be weight bearing exercises. If he's very busy, walking 4 times a week also maintains the bone structure. Secondly, if he's overweight, I'll say you reduce your weight, because there are a lot of endocrinal changes. Stress increases your cortisol level, and by theory it leaches out calcium from your bone. But I think...
Ooh, well, there's a lot of leaching going on.
No, not that way. You see, that's the thing.
When you're all stressed.
When you give a bit of information, it becomes something. But I think we have to remember that we have a peak at 30, and our job is to maintain it. And the way we need to maintain it is to keep active. Because as we keep active, we tend to protect our bones and the joints. So we tend to lose bone slower.
And our muscles strengthen with use, we usually think, right? But especially if we work them to the limit. But can we do the same with the bones? How do we know we're overworking the bones?
I don't think it's actually safe to work the bone up to the level of what? A break? It doesn't work like a muscle. You see, the muscle is, you can cause hypertrophy of the muscle. But the bone is a living tissue. When you work the bone, bone gets absorbed from the parts which are less worked on, and they are built on the part that undergoes that stress of your activity. So that's why it's a three-dimensional structure. So it's very, very interesting. It's just like a building. The strength of the bone is always on the part which undergo the most stress. So if you look at your femur or your thigh bone, there's a lot of bone concentrated on the lower part of the upper part, the neck. So that's the part. So when you do activities, you also allow the bone to distribute the stress as needed. If you do not do activities, then the bone is just a three-dimensional structure which is weak. And as you work it, it might break.
Okay. And do you see people making mistakes as far as how they exercise the bone and exercise in exercising in general? Is there anything detrimental that we could be doing for to reduce the development of the bone?
I think the mere fact that when you exercise, you are already taking a step in the right direction.
We've come to that stage, huh?
Yeah, you might overdo it, fall and break it. Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Second thing is you might work it too much and get a stress fracture, which is, working a part of the body constantly in a particular way, applying stresses at one particular point and the bone just gives way. Like if you're into this a lot of dancing and hopping about, and then your metatarsals might just go into a stress fracture. That's problems in the foot. But I think otherwise, the general public, exercising is a good way to maintain muscle function, joint function, and bone function.
You mentioned earlier, if you're lactose intolerant, then soy products could be a good supplement.
Yeah.
What if you're a vegetarian?
I knew that was going to come and bite me. See, okay, I'm an orthopedic surgeon. So generally, if you're very concerned, you have now vegans who don't take egg.
Yeah.
Then it's pure vegan, mixed vegan. It confuses me sometimes. So you can probably ask a nutritionist exactly how it is. But there are options for lactose intolerant people. You know, soy food, our bok choy, those kind of stuff, they give a good amount of calcium. And if you feel that your diet is not giving you enough, you can take supplements. But I always feel that a balanced diet is the key. You can't substitute a balanced diet for a few pills.
Would you say that we should? Would you encourage us to go and get a bone density done at some stage in our lives, and maybe do a blood test to see if you're vitamin D deficient?
Okay,
because you wouldn't really know, would you?
Yeah, the way I look at it is, we cannot be too paranoid, but we cannot be oblivious to the fact that we can have problems.
Yep.
There are protocols to this, you know, that women above the age of 50 or men above the age of 60, women who are in menopausal age, you can get a bone density done. So that gives you a baseline, and it tells you whether you need to take supplements and what kind of medication you need. The moment you have a fracture of certain parts of the body, the hip, the spine, or your forearm bone, these are qualify as osteoporotic fractures. They generally happen in bones which are already weak, particularly if the force is minimal, like falling from a chair and you break your hip. Now, these patients definitely immediately need medication to combat that. So there's two ways to look at it.
But how do we prevent ourselves from coming to that stage?
Keep healthy. If you keep health, okay, we have probably missed, if you're 40 and you never knew about this, you probably missed the part of building the bone to the age of 30. But keeping an active lifestyle will protect you. There are things that you can't change. You can't change being female. No, you can, but I mean,
get your point.
Okay, so you can't change that. You can't change going older. You can't change what bone density you already have at a particular point, but you can change the fact that keeping active, eating healthy, and having a positive outlook keeps your bone and body healthy.
So what would your message be for those below the age of 30 to maintain good bone mass?
I think it's good that you're listening to this talk, so you know things that I never knew until I went to med school. Keeping active at a younger age, having very healthy eating habits, interacting with people, and just being positive builds up not only the mind but also the body well. And you know that where the bones are concerned, you can only build until the age of 30. And continuing to be active till you are older and aged maintains that, and then you're fine.
Your message to, in general, on bone health?
I think we have to understand that the bone is not just a rod which our muscles use to move us. It's actually living tissue, and it acts as a reservoir and has multiple functions. So if we respect the bone, we actually will have a good, healthy life.
And it's not all about calcium. Calcium is crucial, but it's not everything.
It's not. Part of it is in the mind, I guess.
Thank you very much for joining me today. Dr. Harjit Singh, consultant orthopedic surgeon on Bone Health on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.